you stop by instead of, you know, spending your 30 minutes doing something productive? Welcome to the X-Wolf Saturday Podcast with Moon.
Hi.
Alright, so today we're actually going to be discussing the electronic dance music scene and how it came to be.
Origin story of EDM.
Yeah. See how that works.
So, EDM, it's like, it got more popular. Well, it started kind of like in the 80s. People didn't really have the online studios we have today, like Soundation, FL, Ableton, stuff like that, GarageBand. They had to build their own studios. They had to get their own dials to add effects. They had to buy their own keyboards. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
okay, I'm gonna go read the precursors and everything that led up to it. Alright. In the late 1960s, bands such as Silver Apples created electronic music intended for dancing. Other early examples of this music later influenced electronic dance music include Jamaican dub music in the late 60s and 70s, synthesizer-based disco music of Italian producer Giorgio Moroder in the late 70s, electropunk of Kraftwerk, and Yellow Magic Orchestra in the mid to late 70s. Dub, not dubstep, please don't. Dub is emphasized by essentially these remixes of songs that these people would take and remix, but they would give emphasis on, add heavy reverb delay and have an emphasis on the drums. Author Michael Buell considers dub music a Jamaican music stemming from roots reggae and sound system culture that flourished between 1968 and 1985 to be one of the most important precursors to contemporary electronic dance music. It did have a lot of the similar idea. The idea of, you know, remixing stuff and putting, song progressiveness.
Yeah.
Or they would progress through the song, much like an EDM track would kind of, you know. I don't know how much hip-hop music really influenced it, but it says here that it did.
Hip-hop?
It did have some influence, but, not as much.
Hip-hop, it kind of, like, started, like, the DJing, scene when it comes to, like, EDM. Like, not producing it, that's a whole different thing. But, like, having a concert for it, they started that thing.
Yeah. So we got the electronic dance music in the 1980s, which was shaped by the development of several new electronic musical instruments, particularly those from the Japanese Roland Corporation, the Roland TR-808. Often referred to as the
bass.
808 bass.
Which is kind of overused, if you ask me, for some things.
Yeah. After Afrika Bambaataa's Planet Rock made it very popular on dance tours, the track, which also filled a melody line from Kraftwerk's Trans-Europe Express. Crap, I just opened another page by accident. Because I'm an idiot. Popularized 808 is a fundamental element of sound. Planet Rock didn't so much put 808 on the map, such as reoriented the entire world of post-disco dance music around it. The Roland TR-909, which I'm guessing was the magical successor to the 808. You know, I'm looking at some of the sites today, and they look very, you know, modern. Like, this was made in 1983.
What?
It looks ultra modern. Even for that. And, the 303 is a bassline synthesizer. Yeah. That's another thing. And the Juno 60. I went to a studio once and I got to play a Juno synthesizer. That that was fun. I went to a music studio once. My drum teacher was in a band, and I got to go to his music studio. That was fun.
You could say he was a boy in a band. That was awful.
Yeah, post disco and electro were I think a lot of, you know, Roland TR-8 and TR-909 was used.
Did you know somewhere in the 1970s, the top song for the year was called "Play That Funky Music, White Boy"?
What?
I know.
Play that white boy, yes.
It was sung by white people, by the way.
Whoa, wait, seriously?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's very strange. It was a different time. It was the 70s.
Oh, I guess. Yeah. Here we go. Drug-induced musical experimentation. That's exactly what I want to hear.
Perfect. Alright, let's...
I'm sure that's exactly what happened. No, seriously, though. I'm pretty sure that is what happened. Kind of saddens me, because knowing one of my favorite music genres was literally made by high people. Sorry.
It's fine. It
angered everyone in the entire EDM community.
So it...
But pioneered by high people.
What you're saying is, EDM was basically pioneered by drugs, you could say?
Yeah, to some degree. A disco record paired with an anything goes attitude made Ibiza a hub of drug-induced musical experimentation.
Wow.
Acid house also became a thing. Acid house.
That's where the name came from. Makes sense.
Dance music in the 1990s, this is where stuff...
That's where, like, the Vanga Boys and, like, stuff like that started to kick in, which basically invented what we do now, what we use, what we do, how we do it.
So Progressive House is one of these that, you know, is still around quite a bit today.
Yeah.
So the history is it emerged after a wave of house music. It can be traced back to the 1990s rave and club scenes in the United Kingdom. Described as a new breed of hard but tuneful, banging but thoughtful, and uplifting and trancy British house.
Isn't that kind of like dubstep? Kinda.
That does sound a bit like dubstep, but it's pretty far from dubstep now.
Yeah, dubstep kind of like kicked in around 2010 to 2015.
Decided to just die out.
Yeah,
I think one of the things that killed it was Serum, I believe, because everything started sounding the same because not as many people knew how to use it. Now all the dubstep producers know how to use Serum, but obviously the damage has already been done.
No way of fixing it. Like, Skrillex, I believe he knew what he was doing.
Well, he didn't actually end up coming out until 2015, so I think a lot of...
He's, like, his world tour in, like, 2014. But,
I like to say that Skrillex was way ahead of his time.
way ahead of his time.
I think people just straight up weren't ready for what he did.
Making a grandpa coughing sound like a song.
Yeah. Trance.
To quote you.
Trance is kind of the precursor to, like, trance still exists today a lot, you know, but I think some of the earlier trance sounds were kind of influencing progressive house just a bit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, cause Tiesto is a big room producer now.
Yeah, he is.
Got some elements of progressive house, and Tiesto is now... He's a big room producer now, that's what I said, because I determined to be a piece myself. Yeah, he used to be a trance. He used to be a trance artist. Trance is mostly instrumental, although vocals can be mixed in. I have also noticed that with trance, generally the vocals are reverbed a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just the
songs
that I've listened to.
Or... Tiesto's like, this year he was rated, I believe, like number 16 on the charts for best DJs in the world. But, trance seems to be like, how do I put this? At certain times it can get more popular, but then die down for a little bit. It's, what's the word? I don't know how to put it. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I forgot.
Alright, so, breakbeat hardcore. I've heard of breakbeat before.
Breakbeat.
It eventually became known as breakcore, where they just have these insane breakbeats.
Yeah.
Just that are like obviously sped up and manipulated. Like I don't really get it. You know, like just as bajillion people don't get EDM.
Yeah, most people wouldn't.
I guess I don't really get it. All right. We got jungle and drum and bass. By the early 1990s, a style of music had developed within the rave scene that had an identified distinct from American house and techno. This music, much like hip-hop before it, combined sampled syncopated beats or breakbeats, other samples from a wide range of different musical genres, and occasionally samples of music dialogue and effects from films and TV programs. Listen to this song called Gerald 28-Gun Bad Boy from 1992, a 30-second sample of the song illustrating combinations of bass lines, broken beats, rave melody, and aesthetics.
He's so the bad
I'll try and, like,
guy.
Say what everything that's happening, but I don't know how well I'm going to be able to describe it.
He's the bad guy. Billie Eilish's bad guy is basically just her talking into a fan.
Alright, so it honestly kind of sounds like a, almost like what would play in the back of a commercial.
Also, did you hear how Peanut Butter Jelly Time, what happened to him? The guy who sung that?
What?
He died like around 2012, in a 14-hour shootout with the cops.
What the?
Yeah, he, hold on, I'll pull up a thing about it. Alright, it says, in 2002, founding member and vocalist Jermaine Fowler died in an 11-hour police standoff. During the standoff, his brother-in-law, Snoop Dogg, his brother-in-law was Snoop Dogg, attempted to calm him down and convinced him to surrender to no avail. Fowler's death directly led to the disbandment of the group, and his most popular song was It's Peanut Butter Jelly Time.
Nice.
That is weird.
You know, from what I'm aware, that is almost a bit, you know, breakbeat-ish. Almost a bit of a drum and bass vibe. Yeah. So this subgenre is known as hardcore rave, but from as early as 1991, some musical tracks made of these high tempo breakbeats and heavy bass lines, samples of older making the music were referred to as jungle techno.
Jungle techno.
Influenced by Jack Smooth and Basement Records, and later just jungle. It became a recognized as a separate musical genre popular at raves and on pirate radio in Britain. It's important to note that when discussing the history of drum and bass, rave music was getting faster and more experimental. Alright, dance music in the 21st century, where it really started to, you know, get off.
Yeah, where it blasted off, you could necessarily say.
Yeah. Dubstep is a genre of electronic dance music that originated in South London in the 1990s. It is generally characterized by sparse syncopated rhythmic patterns with bass lines that can gained prominent sub-bass frequencies. The Smile emerged as an offshoot of UK garage, drawing in lineage of related styles such as two-step, dub reggae, jungle, broken beat, and grime. Alright, so, aside from the article, I'm gonna go explain a little thing about dubstep. So, a lot of artists started differing away from the original four-on-the-floor beat. And two-step actually became a precursor to dubstep. And it, so you know Sia, right? So she's pretty big now, but she used to actually do some of this stuff. So she did some two-step. I know she was in an acid jazz band before she went into pop a bunch. So there's that. And the aforementioned dub, which had an emphasis on remixing things, reverb, delay, and dropouts. And I would probably say that the first, like, you know, really super dubsteppy sounding track would be Midnight Request Line, sorry, by Scream. Came out in 2006. It has some elements of dubstep. And, yeah, there's that. Electro House. Electro House is a form of house music characterized by a prominent bass line or kick drum and a tempo between 125 and 135 beats per minute, usually 128. Its origins, I wonder why 128.
128 is like house.
Well, why 128? Why is that like...
It's like the premium, it's the go-to tempo for house and like stuff like that. And
why not 130?
Or 125, like, maybe.
Barely a difference.
Yeah.
Barely a difference. Well, I mean, that's... I mean, everyone does it, though, so I guess... It's alright, I don't really care. The term has been used to describe many of the DJ Mag 100 top DJs, including Dimitri Vegas, and Mike, Hardwell Skrillex, Stevie Aoki, Benny Benassi, his track Satisfaction, released in 2002, is seen as a forerunner of Electro House, who bought it from mainstream. By the mid-2000s, Electro House saw an increase in popularity with his hits such as the Tom Neville remix of Studio B's I See Girls in 2005, and in November 2006, Electro Tracks Put Your Hands Up for Detroit by Fetty LeGrand and D. Ramez remix of Yeah Yeah by Body Rocks and Luciana hold number one and number two spots, respectively, in the UK Top 40 single charts. Alright, you got me? Follow me?
Yeah, kind of.
Trap music,
oh boy.
Trap music. Here we go. Trap music originated from techno, dub, and Dutch house, but also from southern hip-hop. This form of trap music can be simplified by these three features. 1/3 hip-hop tempo. Hip-hop and tempo songs and song structure are similar, but most tracks are between 70 or 100 BPM. Vocal, isn't that just wet? Wait. Some degree, some of the time. Oh, never mind, I was an idiot. 70 is just half of 130, so that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
I generally think about it in like 150, but technically dubstep is at 75 when you think about it.
I mean, I guess so. Kinda, yeah.
If you're using half, or if you're using you know, half step, but if you're not, then it is at 75. Alright. Most tracks are usually between 71-10 BPM. Vocals sometimes being pitched down. Yeah, sometimes happens. 1/3 dance music, high-pitched Dutch synth work. I don't really know where that's coming from. Hard style sampling, as well as a plethora of trap remixes of popular EDM songs, and 1/3 dub. Low frequency focus, strong emphasis on repetitiveness throughout the song. Some of the artists that have popularized the genre, along with several others, would be producers such as R.L. Grime with tracks Core and Skella. Flostradamus with their man, people enjoy giving their songs hard to pronounce names.
Yeah.
At a nation radio, that's... Everyone's gonna get mad at me in the comment section for purposely just, or horrible at pronouncing, not purposely. Album released in 2015, and Carnage DJ with his track Turn Up released in 2012. Trap music in this connotation was characterized by soulful synths, 808s, pan flute, still a thing.
Surprisingly.
Sharp snares and long slurred vowels, which created dirty and aggressive beats, resulting in dark melodies. Seems like a precursor for mumble rap, don't you think?
A bit, yeah.
It depends on what strap you're going for. If you're just going, like trap vocals, or are you going trap song? Trap vocals would just be like, mumble rap kind of crap.
Yeah.
Sorry, I didn't mean to diss mumble rap fans.
They're gonna get triggered. It. Yeah.
I just don't get
it's
it. Anyway,
strange.
Or trap production, which is, club style music is not a very, it's a super vague term since we're literally reading history of EDM. I think y'all know what trap music drops are.
Probably.
Yeah, Aerochord. He does some of that. Aerochord Surface. That is a trap song. Alright, the earliest actual use of electronic dance music was by an English musician, producer, manager, and innovator, Richard James Burgess, in 1980, who singled European Man with his hit Landscape, used the term on the back of the record sleeve, electronic dance music. Production. Well, we're not really actually... We're less into the history and more into how it's made, which is actually what I'm gonna... I guess that's it. I guess that's it about the magical world of EDM.
Well, I guess so. What's some more genres about EDM? Like, based off of EDM?
I don't know.
I know there's so many genres.
There is a lot. Breakcore. I think I already mentioned.
I am going to.
IMD, or no, it's IDM.
IDM, yeah.
Noise.
Hold on, I'm gonna.
Not only EDM is noise.
I'm gonna look at this.
Don't make a joke.
All right, here we go. Acid house, alternative ambient, big room, bro step, chill step, chopped and screwed. Strange. Complex stro, death step, deep dubstep, deep house, dirty dubstep, drone, drum and bass, drum step, dubstep, EDM, electro house, electronica, funk, future based, future house, glitch hop, grime, hard style, house, IDM, instrumental, jungle, metal, electronic, minimal house, neuro funk, new age, noise, progressive pop, progressive house, reggaeton, I don't know how to pronounce
it. Well, you said you're gay instead of
R&B, yeah, we probably all are, soul, synthwave, tech house, techno, trans, trap house, trap, tropical house, UK garage, vaporwave, and world. That's a lot.
You want to know what I found out?
Go ahead.
Stupidly enough, Anime Slam exists.
No.
I am really just genuinely scared.
No. It's like the word Japanese instead of weeb.
Anime Slam is a genre of metal.
Oh, no. No. No, why?
You know what I also found out? Someone made auto-tuned metal.
Oh, wow.
Of course,
dear.
Baby Metal, the most famous Anime Slam band.
Oh, dear.
Someone also... I think it was Ibanez made them. Actually, look. Alright, I don't care who it's from. If you made a sick guitar, you made a sick guitar. And that's a pretty sick looking axe right there.
Axe.
Yes. We're too metal to use the word guitar. We just have to use axe everywhere we go.
We have to. We need to.
It's a pretty sick looking guitar.
Alright.
It's like a 9-string with a galaxy design on it.
Epic. What? Who invented the piano?
I don't know. Who did?
Who invented the piano? I'm looking this up. How do I say that? Bartolomeo Cristofori.
Nice.
In 1688.
It's Moon's thing to pronounce super hard to pronounce words.
Like philosophy, allopathication, and anti-disestablishmentarianism, and pneumonia, tremectoscopic, stelicorficanicosius.
I, that's enough. Stop flexing.
Alright.
No, I'm kidding.
Alright, hippopotamonstrosis, quiddlophobia.
Fear of long words.
Fear of long words, yeah.
I love the fact that the fear of long words is a 37
it's,
letter
long. It's a bit ironic.
It's the most ironic thing ever.
Anyway, the person who invented the piano made the keys out of ivory, which is elephant trunk.
Well, that's why everyone says tickle the ivories.
Yeah, tickle the ivories. It's like plastic now, but, you know, tickle the ivories. How about the guitar? Who invented that?
I wonder.
Must have been some kind of nerd.
What? Hey!
Alright,
don't diss
guitar. Who invented the guitar? It says a guy named George Beauchamp and Adolf Rickenbacker. Rickenbacker. Ooh, that's a
guitar.
Pretty good name.
Electric guitar.
Yeah, that's the electric guitar.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure, like, the acoustic guitar. Christian Frederick Martin. In when? Wow. 1850. That's like pre-slavery being released. Like what's the word? Technology, I guess.
Yeah.
The acoustic guitar was made in 1850. It's, how did they think of that?
I don't know. Well, the dreadnought.
Yeah, the dreadnought. How about the violin? Violins are cool. No one's gonna be able to, make me think otherwise. Violins are cool.
Yeah.
It was made by a guy named Andrea Amidi. He was Italian, and he made it in the early 16th century, so, like, early 1500s.
My FPS is, or my frame rate is
frame
at this level. Hold on, let me just. Someone is playing video game in the background for some reason.
Same for me, but I'm pretty sure that's all the time we have today.
Yeah, that really kind of sucks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alright then, I guess we'll see y'all next Saturday.
See y'all next Saturday. Farewell.
Right, let's do this. Bye.
Bye.